Well, before I read the scripture this morning, I want to give you a brief preface of what's going on in this story leading up to this point. We'll be reading from Genesis chapter 24. If you want to pull out your pew Bibles, that is going to be on page 19. Actually, our reading is going to be on page 20. And so I want to give you a little bit of a preface, a background to what's going on before we pick up in verse 57. So this story kind of goes back to Abraham and when God called Abraham. And Abraham was this guy and he was living in the land of Ur. And God called Abraham and said, I want you to go to a new land, the land of Canaan. And I want you to go there and I will bless you. And I promise to make you the father of many nations. And by doing this, God said, I will make you the father of many nations and will reconcile the whole world to myself. And I want you to be that chosen one. And so God makes this promise to Abraham that he will have a son and that that son will carry on this promise and that that son will have sons and that they will become a great nation. And so Abraham leaves and he goes with his wife, Sarah. And they go to the land of Canaan, and some time passes, and they're not quite sure what's going on, because God's not really making this promise come to fruition, and so they're getting a little worried about it, and they're getting up in age, and they're about 90 and 100 when Isaac is finally born. And so everybody's real excited and happy, and there's laughter, and that's what Isaac's name means, is laughter, and Isaac begins to grow up, and almost gets sacrificed at one point, which is kind of a weird story. And I'm not sure if he like gets scarred for life from that or not, but it happens. And so Isaac avoids being sacrificed and continues to grow up and grows older. And eventually Abraham's wife, Sarah, dies. And they are both in mourning and in grief. And at this point, Isaac kind of becomes a lame duck and isn't quite sure what to do with his life and isn't either willing or able to go find a wife for himself to carry on this promise. And that brings us to the beginning of chapter 24. And Abraham calls his servant and says, I want you to go and find a wife for my son Isaac. I want you to go find a wife for him from the people of my hometown. So not here in the land of Canaan, but way off across the desert in my hometown, part of my family, and I want you to bring her back here. And the servant kind of goes, well, wait a second, you know, what if she's not willing to go with me? And Abraham says, well, if she's not willing to come, then, you know, I'll let you off the hook. But I want you to at least try. And so the servant goes, and he goes to Abraham's hometown, and he sets up shop by a well. And wells in the Old Testament were like the original eHarmony dating sites. Anybody? So he sets up shop by this well, and he prays to God and says, God, let the first girl that comes along that offers me a drink and then offers my camels a drink, let her be the one that you've called to carry on this promise. And as soon as he finishes praying, or even as he finishes praying, this girl named Rebecca walks up. And Rebecca is very beautiful, it says, and she is a virgin. And so she meets all of the marriage criteria, and she offers him a drink and then offers to water his camels as well. I should mention, too, that he brought 10 camels with him. I don't know why you would need 10 camels, but he brought 10 camels with him. And so he's got these 10 camels, and she says, I'll water all 10 camels. And so she goes down to the spring and comes back and goes down and makes multiple trips to water all these camels. So as you can see, this is kind of a really radical act of hospitality. And as she's doing all of this, the servant is kind of checking her out, wondering, okay, is she the one? Is this the one God's chosen? And sure enough, he decides, yep, she's the one. And so he puts a ring in her nose and gives her, I guess that was a thing back then, puts a ring in her nose and gives her bracelets. And that kind of signifies that something's going to happen here. And he says he's from Abraham, and Rebecca recognizes that that's her uncle and brings him back home with her. And she goes to her parents and they say, And they ask him what's going on here. They're going to eat dinner. And he says, well, I have to tell you, I'm here to find my master's son, Isaac, a wife. And I prayed to God and said, God, let the girl who offers me a drink and offers to water my camels, let her be the one. And sure enough, here comes Rebecca, and she does all these things. And so the family goes, okay, yeah, sounds good. I guess she's the one, so we'll send her with you. And so then he gives them a whole bunch of gifts and all these expensive things, I guess, as part of a dowry. And everything's going smoothly. They're celebrating, they're partying. And the next morning he gets ready to leave. And the family kind of pulls a fast one on him. And they say, well, why don't you wait a while? Why don't you just kind of hang out a little bit? And maybe 10 days or so we'll leave and we'll let her go. And I'm not sure if they're trying to weasel more gifts out of him or what. That's kind of like this family. If you read on in Scripture, they tend to do this kind of thing. And so he says, you know what? No, I need to get back to my master, Abraham. And they come to a standstill in their negotiations. And that's where Scripture picks up this morning. So verse 57 of chapter 24 of Genesis. Hear now the word of God. They said, we will call the girl and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will. So they sent her away. They sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of myriads. May your offspring gain possession of the gates of their foes. Then Rebekah and her maids rose up, mounted the camels, and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had come up from Beer Lahai Roy and was settled in the Negeb. Isaac went out in the evening to walk in the field. And looking up, he saw camels coming. And Rebekah looked up, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel. And said to the servant, who is this man over there walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What I think is going on in this story is that Rebekah is being shown to be the uniquely and supremely qualified person to carry on God's promises. She is the one that has been set apart to become the new matriarch for Israel. Have any of you ever seen the show on TV, Say Yes to the Dress? Anybody? I know Carly has. Say Yes to the Dress? Anybody back here? Y'all seen it? Okay. I apologize to those of you who really like this show, but I can't stand this show. This show drives me nuts. Oh, the basic premise of this show is that they follow around a girl who's about to get married. And as she tries on wedding dresses at these different high-end retailers. And they inevitably create drama. And so, like, the maid of honor is, like, all upset because she's not getting to do something in the wedding. And the mom and the sister are mad at each other because of some past something or other. And the sales clerk is starting to pull her hair out because the bridezilla won't pick a dress. And it's just a mess. Every time it comes on, I just want my eyeballs to fall out or something. And so eventually at the end of the show, they find the one, you know, and she puts it on. And at the end, she says yes to the dress. Well, I think that's kind of what's going on in this story with Rebekah. Except maybe not so much saying yes to the dress, but saying yes to the mess. The mess of being part of Abraham's family. The mess of following a stranger to marry a stranger. She says yes to the mess of doing God's will rather than her own. Now, as I said earlier, I think Rebekah is being portrayed here as uniquely and supremely qualified to carry on the redemptive work of God through this promise. Not Isaac so much. Isaac is just kind of passive in this text. He's kind of just sitting there waiting for somebody to bring him a wife. And so it's like, what exactly is going on here? And they do this throughout this text in a lot of different ways. They show some parallels between Abraham and Rebecca. They both come from the same family and they both come from the same hometown. And she ends up walking the exact same path that Abraham walked to leave that hometown and go to the promised land. And not only that, but she gets the same blessing that Abraham received. She is blessed by her family, and it echoes almost identically the blessing that Abraham received from God. Furthermore, she also displays some of the same kind of characteristics and the same kind of personality traits that Abraham shows. They both have this idea of radical hospitality. She shows this radical hospitality to this servant and to his camels. And Abraham did the same thing to the three men earlier in this book, who ended up being angels, who ended up being the messengers of God's grace. And so she has these same kind of characteristics. She has this sense of boldness and this sense of courage and is adventuresome. But what I think this text does more than anything to point this out is ask those questions. At the beginning of this chapter, the servant asks, what if she is not willing to come back with me? Now, back in that day and time, the original hearers of this text would have thought this was an absurd question. Because women and girls back in this context would not really have had any say as to whether they were going to do something or not do something. So this question of whether she was willing or not was kind of a moot point. And so I think this question would have gotten the people's attention and said, there's something else going on here. Or maybe more along the lines of, why on earth would he ask that question? It's completely irrelevant. Well, he asked that question because later on at the end of the chapter, they end up asking her that exact question. And I think this shows a few things. This shows that she, Rebecca, bucks the trend. That she's different. That something is different about this woman. That God has given her the freedom and the ability to choose. And so they come to her and they ask her, are you willing to go with this man? And then she says something even crazier. Yes. She says yes to God's work. She says yes and takes a leap of faith to walk that same path that Abraham walked. And it's not unlike a leap of faith I took one time. Every year, my family and I, we go up to Lake Tenkiller up in Oklahoma. And it's a beautiful lake. It's a deep water lake. It's clear. It's got these great cliffs on either side, so it's not very windy. And in college, my first time I was there, we were having a great time, and we were boating, and we were water skiing, and we were tubing, and just having all sorts of fun. And then somebody says, hey, we should go jump off the cliffs. And so what do you do when somebody says, hey, go jump off a cliff? You go jump off a cliff. And so we are motoring up to the cliffs, and as you can see on your bulletin, they're not quite that big, We pull up to these cliffs, and I think it was about a 30-foot tall cliff. And we jump out, and we swim to shore, and we climb up, and we get to the top. And I'm looking down, which is a mistake. You shouldn't do that on top of a cliff. And this cliff is way bigger than I had anticipated. I'm looking down, and it is a long way down to the water. Well, Mallory and I were dating at the time, so I couldn't chicken out. I was going to have to jump now that I was up there, right? And so one person goes, and another person goes, and it's my turn. And so I get up to the edge, and my toes kind of curl over the edge. I think I was kind of hanging on to the edge for dear life. And I'm looking over the edge, and it's all this far way down to the water, and I'm not sure if I can do it. And I'm standing there, and I just can't do it. I can't do it, and I back off, and the people down below are saying, "You can do it, you can do it." And they're encouraging me, they're inviting me to jump and to join them. So I get back up to the edge, and I'm looking down, and I think about it way too long. And finally, I jump. And I jump off, and I'm falling, and I keep falling. And I fall so long that I remember that I forgot to turn off the iron back at home. And I keep falling, and finally, I hit the water. And, oh, it's just this great adrenaline rush. And everybody comes up around me, and they're like, "Yeah, you did it, you did it." And in that moment, I felt like I was part of the family. Like I had been truly accepted. Like I had been initiated into this new kind of understanding. That I had kind of fallen into this water, not just of water, but of love. Not unlike what happens in baptism, I might say. And so what happens in this story, and what we see happens in this story in Genesis 24, is that Rebecca doesn't take a leap of faith and fall into the abyss. She takes a leap of faith and falls into love. It says at the end of the chapter that Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. She took a leap of faith and fell into God's love. All because she was willing to say yes to what God wanted her to do. She took that leap of faith and fell into God's grace. And so the question comes to us this morning. A similar question to what was asked Rebecca. Are you willing to go with this man, Jesus? Are we willing to go with this man, Jesus? Are we willing to take a leap of faith and follow Christ where Christ may lead? To do what Christ did, to love the stranger as Rebecca and Abraham and Christ do. Are we willing to go with this man, Jesus? And so I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask all of us a question this morning. What is God calling us to do today? What is God inviting you to do today? What journey is God inviting you to take? You should have a blue index card in your bulletin. I want you to take that out. And in a minute, I want you to write something on there. I want you to write down what it is God might be calling you to do today. What is it that Christ is beckoning you to let go of? What does Christ want you to uncurl your toes from and jump off into? Maybe it's letting go of some past hurt or pain that is keeping you from hearing God. Maybe it is God calling you to do something new and different. Maybe God is calling you to do something new and exciting even in this church. Or maybe God is calling this church to take a leap of faith and to jump into God's grace, into something new. The great thing about this story, and if you already have something in mind, feel free to write it down. The great thing about this story is that God is involved in every aspect of it, but God is not puppeteering. God is involved in behind the scenes and leads the way and is in front of and all around this story. But ultimately, God gives Rebecca the choice, the freedom to choose whether or not she is going to become a part of the redemptive story of God for the salvation of the world. And God is asking us the same kind of question. See, Rebecca could have chosen not to go. She could have said no. And God probably would have found another way, would have found another person that was willing to fulfill these promises. And so the same question comes to us this morning. Are we willing to go with this man, Jesus, and participate in the redemptive story of God for the salvation, for the transformation of the world, as is our Methodist mission? Are we willing to go? What is it that God is calling you to today? What is it that God is calling us to do today? Whatever it is, I can tell you this. When you take that leap of faith, you land in love. When you take that leap of faith, you're not falling into the abyss. You're falling into God's grace. Are you willing to go with this man, Jesus? Will you say yes to the mess of a life with God? You know, God never promised that it would be easy, that all the obstacles would be removed. But God said, I will be with you every step of the way on that journey from your hometown to a new land. So will you say yes to the mess of loving others, of loving people who are broken, who are hurting? Will you say yes to the messiness of being in God's will and not our own? Will we say yes to the mess of living in God's grace and take that leap into God's love? Amen.